radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 10. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. It almost prophesied before many peoples, nations, tongues, and so forth. How do I get under them? Exactly. The question is, how do you get under them? You know, Jesus got under the woman at the well by saying, living water. You know, you ask me, I'll give you water. You'll never thirst again. Paul always went into the synagogues because he was a rabbi and because it gave him a way to get under them. And they'd let him read and he'd start telling them about Jesus. Nothing could stop him. Sometimes it was necessary to take the beating of the rods and be in the Philippian jail singing hymns to win a Philippian jailer. Sometimes it was necessary for him to be stoned with stones outside of the city, left for dead, that he would get back up out of this rubble and he would walk back into the city. And everybody would give him a hug and say, see you later. Did that hurt? You know, just looking at, whoa, what's that on your eye? That's who Jesus is. He puts that in us. Yet not I, but Christ, right? I mean, he's the one who gives us that. When we have this information, we know where the story is going. And ours is to see him running and us to run as footmen alongside of him. He's our king. Run by him. That's what we do. Chapter 11 says, and there was given to me a reed like unto a rod. The angel stood raising and saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. We're still in that interlude. And what we're finding is John has been told to measure this temple that's been rebuilt, by the way. It will have been rebuilt during the tribulation. The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians 2 that the Antichrist is going to go in and he's going to sit on that Ark of the Covenant, claiming himself to be God. Daniel chapter 9, 27 says that he's going to make the oblation. The Antichrist is going to make the oblation and the sacrifices to stop. This has all been prophesied. That was 500 years before Christ. He's going to stop the sacrifice. He's going to declare himself to be God. But I want you to see the word reed. You don't think of it much, but you've seen it. I don't know what you think of. I pretty much think of a reed that you're going to use on a saxophone or something. I'd have the reed or whatever. But this reed is known to be, from Scripture, about a 10-foot reed. You know, you can think of the cane in the wild, I guess, from swampy areas, whatever. You've heard the Gospels mention the reed many times. The Bible says that Jesus began again to say to the multitudes concerning John, what went you out to see? A reed shaken by the wind. Okay, you've seen it. So he was tall. He was being shaken by the wind. No, that's not what they went. And then it shows the use. Matthew 12:20 says, a bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoking flax he shall not quench. A bruised reed is like you and me. if we've had a lot of trauma in our lives, we're looking for something that matters. And yeah, we've fallen into sin. We're like the woman taken in adultery. And Jesus comes along and says, where are your accusers? There are none, Lord. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That's what he does. Smoking flax he does not quench. There's a little ember there and it's kind of in the middle of whatever wetness or whatever, and it's kind of damp and whatever, but he won't quench it because he's for you. He wants you to be hot or cold. And so if hot's good, go. We see a lot of stuff in our world. The only people getting out there, getting outside about God and getting it all wrong. You say, wow, that's pretty heady to say somebody's wrong. Yeah, they are. Truth is crude. But God is okay with a little bit of clumsiness because his plan can take it. Adrian Rogers said, I know the Word of God is true because of so much shoddy preaching I've heard through my life. It's true, okay? The Word of God, it's true. It's true. I'm telling you, we live in a day. The Bible says in Matthew 27, verse 29, it says, and they plaited a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and they shoved a reed into his hand. Like a staff. And the Bible says they mocked him and then they took the reed and spit on him and smote him on the head with it. A head that, by the way, had thorns. And the Bible says when he was hanging on the cross, straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. My point in telling you that is just so you can know what this reed is about. It's about 10 foot long. So now you know how they could reach him. You can see how it's a staff. But this reed is how they measured things, about 10 feet. If you have a tape measure, 25 feet, 16 feet, 8 feet, you got your own measuring rod. This is their measuring rod. And he's told to rise up and measure the temple of God. And it says in verse 2, but the court outside the temple, leave that out. Because it's given to the Gentiles. Because the times of the Gentiles, yes, it's coming to an end. And this is the time after the 3.5 years. It's been desecrated inside, but God can overcome that. The only time the holy can make the unholy clean is when the Holy One is Jesus. Every time something unholy touches something that's holy, it's defiled. Remember? Maybe specifically Samson, if he touched the dead body, he was defiled. Even though he was sanctified as a Nazarite, he was defiled by the touching of that dead body in the lion. All I'm trying to say to you is that this is significant because the time of the Gentiles is coming to an end. And God's got a barred gate there for about 3.5 years. And this is why we get the picture that prior to the bowls, something's happening. But God's already measuring for curtains. Isn't that good? He's got a reed. He's measuring inside because this is going to be used for a little bit. Just for a little bit, though. He's measuring for curtains. Measure that. Measure that. And the Bible says, but don't measure the outside court because it is given into the hands of the Gentiles. And the holy city shall be tread underfoot for 42 months. Now, when it's being tread underfoot is when the Antichrist comes in and he desecrates it. And he does this for 42 months. But there's a split here because this is the last 42 months. And the Bible says in verse 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy for 1,260 days. That's 1,260 days. This gives to us the prophetic year that cracks the code of Daniel's 70 weeks of years. 42 months is 3.5 years. 1,260 days is 3.5 years if you have a lunar year made up of 360 days. And when you have that lunar year, you go back to Daniel 7, you see that there is a code to be cracked that brings us right down to Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday was the day that was 483 years to the day when Jesus was prophesied to come. And Messiah shall come, it says. And he came on the donkey and he said, here I am. And they were saying, Hosanna. Everybody was in their places, everyone, dress rehearsal. But when he was coming, if you zoom in Luke, you find him weeping, not just weeping, but wailing over Jerusalem because he knew they weren't going to do what they should do. And Daniel told us that after that, Messiah will be cut off. It was not a week later, Jesus was crucified. This is an amazing book. The devil's got a plan right now. You're living it. He's going for globalism. He's going for a one world leader. He's going for people who will get in lockstep. He's going for people who will be, listen, they will be religious. They think they're right. The rider is on a white horse. The rider is on a white horse in Revelation. He's an antichrist in the sense of saying, I'm in the place of Christ. What has Jesus done for you lately? Look what I can do for you. Do not miss that. You're living in that day. You're hoping for a political miracle down here, perhaps. Maybe you're hoping somehow it's not as bad as it looks. 40% of our debt was just accrued in this country in the last 1 year. Over the course of our entire history, 40%, 1 year. They're trying to tear us down and topple us. We need to have our wits about us. Jesus is driving. Okay, he's got this. It's going to get scary. It's going to get up in your face. It already is with the mask. I mean, you're being poked. Your freedoms are being abridged. And we, listen, we are Americans. How could this be? You're living it. And this is 1,260 days, 42 months, 3.5 years. The Bible says that these witnesses were given power for 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. And it says that they were clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before God of the earth. Some people think this might be Moses and Elijah brought back for this very duty. They were there once before in the Mount of Transfiguration. We don't know who they are, to be honest. We just can presume that it could be. Some people think it's Enoch and Elijah because they never died. I don't know who they are. But I do know that at the very least, just as John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah, these men will come in the spirit and power of Moses and Elijah. How do I know that? Because the Bible says that if any man would hurt these two witnesses as they have their ministry, fire would proceed out of their mouths. That happened with Elijah. They came out. They said, listen, a man of God, the king wants to see. If I be a man of God, let fire come down and consume you. 50 men were destroyed in a moment's notice with fire from heaven. 50 men. Another guy. This happened 3 or 4 times. Finally, the guy got on his knees and said, please, please don't kill us. Right? I mean, he did it several times. That's the spirit of Elijah. The Bible says, if I be a man of God, it said, let fire come down. The Bible says, if anyone would hurt these men, fire would proceed out of their mouth. And the Bible says, he must in this manner be killed, verse 5. The word must is very important because it's just not an idea. It's a must. The word literally means it's necessary. It's bound. This is how it has to happen. Do you know why? Because these people are Israel that he's reaching to. And this is the time of Jacob's trouble. Those two truths, it's Israel who he's reaching to. The angel of the Lord comes down as an angel of the Lord. It's Jesus. But they don't know him yet. They haven't seen him whom they pierced yet. But at this time, they're going to be beginning to get a clue. And now we have a Moses and Elijah type character who've been on the scene for 3.5 years. Then you get in the midst of all of this, they've got to do it this way. Why? Because there's a pantomime going on again, just like in all of the ministry of Ezekiel. He was pantomiming everything. Here they are pantomiming to the people of Israel. It's like you're talking to somebody who can't hear, you know, like you're, you know, trying to make signs. And, you know, Jesus did that to the deaf man. He pointed his tongue in his ears and spit, and he showed him, and then he gave him back his hearing. He was talking to him when he couldn't hear. These guys can't hear. The blindness. And so he has to pantomime. The Bible says, these have power to shut heaven and it rain not. That's Elisha. They have power to turn the water to blood. That's Moses. And to smite the earth with all plagues. Oh, all plagues? Well, what are those? Well, let's go back and review. Okay, go back and look at the Pharaoh and the lice and the darkness and the flies and the frogs and all of this stuff. Just look at it. And they'll recognize me, because it's me. And the Bible says, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of that great city, which is spiritually called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So we know where it was. It was in Jerusalem. And the Bible says, and they of the people and kindreds and tongues of the nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer the bodies to be put in the graves. Cell phones, you can see anywhere in the world right now. There's probably a camera there. You can watch the Vatican. You can watch it all day. You can watch the White House all day. The entire world will be able to see. That had never happened before. Cell phones, tablets, TV video feeds, and all the world is going to see their dead bodies lying in that street. Wow. And they will want to, because the Bible says that they would rejoice over them. The Bible says in verse 10, they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry. Circle the word merry, because that's Merry Christmas. Okay, they've got a satanic Christmas going here. In fact, look, it says, and they shall send gifts to one another. Okay, so don't take my word for it. This is crazy stuff, right? The word for merry is a word that actually has significance in its own right. It literally means to be in a good frame of mind. Everything will be okay now. We got rid of those pesky witnesses. Finally, we know that our guy is the guy. Our guy's the guy. He killed him. He finally had to roll up his sleeves, and the beast got him dead. Wow. We're good now. We were right all along. I'm telling you guys, this script meeting the script of the devil, he's wanted all along to be like God.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.